Talk about when it rains, it pours. This umbrella I borrowed from a friend this morning, and it's all the way from Germany. So when it rains, it pours. You know, they say you're not supposed to open up an umbrella inside. You know why? It's bad luck. Well, there it is. If I could walk under a ladder or get a black cat, I'll just add to it. I just don't believe in luck. I don't believe in superstition. I believe when it rains, it does pour. You know what's amazing? Is when it rains, it pours. You know where that statement came from? When it rains, it pours. More than salt, okay. Some of you are dating yourself. I had no idea, but someone told me that the other day, and I went, never heard of it. I hadn't heard of that. I'd heard of when it rains, it pours. It's a little older than Morden Salt. It's the idea that when bad things happen, it's going to get a whole lot worse. Just get ready. And I wrote down in my notes, because you've probably heard this, bad things always happen in threes. Where did that come from? I met someone years ago, and they had two people that died in their family, and they were so scared they were waiting for someone else to die. And I thought, what kind of life is that? Because bad things always happen in three. My son got into an accident. Somebody hit his car, his little Ford Focus. A couple months later, someone hit rear-end the other side of his Ford Focus. It's definitely a compact. That's two. And guess what someone said? Well, guess what? It's the worst one's yet to come. Now I'm thinking, no, I don't receive that. See, the idea that when it rains, it pours. John, I'd like to change that spelling if we could. So while I'm talking, if you do me a favor, I don't like when it rains, it pours. If you'll change rains to R-E-I-G-N-S, would you change that? Or I-R-I-E, I'm sorry. Did I say it right the first time? I can never get that I before E except after C or before R, because that's not true. There are words that I don't like the English language. I'll speak it, but I don't have to write it. There we go, brother. Now, that's what I like. When it rains, it pours. That's what I like. Because superstition is fine for those who want to live. Listen, I know when I wake up in the morning, there are negative people, and they like to say things like that. When it rains, it pours. Well, bad things always come in threes, or what a horrible day it is outside. I know when you woke up this morning, the devil had negative things. He starts out bright and early, and he gets you right when you wake up, and he wants to put things in your mind, and he would love to have you agree with him. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to agree with the devil in my life. I don't want to do those things. Listen, there's enough stuff going on that I just got no time to wake up this morning, and trust me, the devil hits me just like he does you. I woke up this morning, I wanted to praise God. And no, the devil hit me with thoughts and things of just, he just wants to get those negative thoughts in your mind. He wants you to think you're no good, you can't do it. And he starts putting those thoughts in your mind. Well, who are you to go to church? Who are you to walk with God? Who are you to ask God for anything? Who are you to have a successful life or a happy marriage? Who are you to turn your life around? You'll never amount to anything. Now listen, I heard those words when I was a kid. I heard those words all the time as a kid. In fact, the favorite words I heard out of my hero were this: you can never do anything right. So I grew up thinking I could never do anything right. When did that begin to change? It began to change when I stopped agreeing with the things that I heard that were coming from the devil, and I started agreeing with the things that God was saying in my life. That's when things started changing in my life. Did it rain this morning? Absolutely, because I believe God loves to have illustrations. Was it sunny last week? People come up to me and they said, Pastor, you have got to quit saying this. I know I sound like a broken record on this, but I believe God blesses those who bless him. I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity. Listen, God's gonna take me out of this world, okay? He's taking me home because I trust in Jesus Christ. And for that and that reason only, I'm going to heaven. For no other reason. Not because I'm good or bad, I'm horrible or excellent. Because I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's the only reason I'm getting out of this earth and going to heaven. But I also know this. I may die of cancer. I may get tuberculosis. I may get hit by a car. I don't know what's going to happen. Listen, I don't want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I don't need to know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know this. I trust in God, and I bless him, and I know that God blesses those who bless him. There you go. I don't think he's going to put $1 million in your checkbook or give you a Mercedes-Benz in your driveway. I think someone's selling you a lot of snake oil. But I do believe this, that God moves in the hearts and he will move in the lives of those, and I mean this with all my heart. I have never found such a satisfying life as I have in the last 28 years in trusting in a living God. That has changed everything. He is the game changer in my life. He's better than Michael Jordan with 3 seconds left. He is the game changer in my life. I read C.S. Lewis this week in my devotions. He said, for some people, God is no more than an airman in the Air Force with a parachute who only pulls it out in the emergency when he needs it. I don't want God to be a parachute in my life and I only need it in an emergency. God is in the daily things of my life. He has numbered the hairs on my head, every single one of them. He has counted them at night. He knows me when I rise and he knows me when I lie down. My God is in the detail. He loves me intimately like a father loves his son with everything that's within him. See, that's the God I trust this morning. That's the game changer. So when I woke up this morning, I had two choices, and there are some negative. I have met some negative people. You can tell them it's a beautiful day outside, and they'll find something. It's too hot. You could tell them, oh, isn't it great we finally got rain for the crops? It's too wet. Isn't it nice that it got into the 70s after 40 days of the 90s? Oh, it's too cold. I pulled up a picture yesterday on my phone that I took last winter of snow in my front yard and showed someone. They go, oh, not yet. I said, but isn't it beautiful? Oh, it's too cold. There are people that can't find good in anything. They can't find positive. And I want you to know something. The Bible says very clearly, the Apostle Paul, I love this verse. He said, rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
Rejoice always. Now think about that. It's easy to rejoice when the Tigers are winning. It might not be so easy to rejoice when they're losing. It's easy to rejoice when you're healthy. But when you go sit in the doctor's office and he says, I'm sorry, this is going to be major surgery. It's easy to rejoice when you can pay the bills, but when you get laid off, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Let me just say that one more time. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication. Bring your request to God, and the God of peace will guard, that goes beyond your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say this. You know what I want you to think about? I don't want you to think all these negative things. You know what I want you to think about? And he goes into this litany of incredible things. I'll tell you, you ought to put this on your mirror at home. You ought to put it on your car keys. You ought to put this on your glasses, have it engraved in small letters so you can read it every day. He says this, finally, after everything else, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, here it is, think about these things. In other words, you know what you ought to be thinking about? Not, oh, good morning, Lord. Or, Lord, it's morning. You got to wake up and go, good morning, Lord, or thank God it's morning. Not TGIF, oh, thank God it's Friday. Or wake up in the morning, oh, Monday morning, I hate Mondays. You ought to wake up in the morning, you ought to say, thank you, God, whatever's admirable. I'm not going to agree with the devil. I'm so glad to be alive. I'll tell you what, you'll thank God for a Monday morning if the doctor tells you you have 3 weeks left to live. I'll tell you what, you'll stop cursing Fridays in your life. You'll start thanking God for one more day. One more moment to hold those children. One more moment to look at that loved one. One more moment just to pass some oxygen through your breath, healthy. I'll tell you, it'll change everything. And he says, I want you to do that. So this morning, when it rains, when he rains, it pours. That's why I like that better than the other way. Because here it is. Bad things don't come in threes unless you want them to. You know what? People that say, oh, something bad's going to happen. Can I tell you something? Something bad is going to happen to you, okay? Oh, I know things are looking good now, but just wait for the other shoe to fall. You hear people talk like that all the time. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do today in my life. I can't wait to see what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, there's a couple out in the Midwest, just a small little farm couple, and in one day they won the lottery, and they can't decide on how they're going to take that $160 million. I'll tell you, in one day, your life can change. Now, I'm not telling you to go buy the lottery. I got something better than the lottery. Now, if you want to go spend your money on the lottery, listen, just make sure God gets his 10% here at Grace Ministry Center. I'm not kidding. Somebody says, would you take that money? Well, it wasn't yours to begin with. Why wouldn't God say thank you very much? The Bible says what the devil has stolen, God's going to restore sevenfold in your life. See, I want to get into the place, where God's pouring in my life. Here's a way for God to pour. God can't pour in your life unless you're doing... We need to meditate on God, on who he is. Meditation, there's an interesting word. What does that mean? It means to take time out in my life and think about God. So we ought to take time and think about God. We ought to have God pouring out of our minds instead of the devil pouring out of our minds. We live in a world, I do this in place I go, do me a favor. If you'll help me out here, I just did this a few weeks ago in North Carolina to about 250 people. I said, if you'll come up with a number, zero being the lowest, 100 being the highest. Let's find out how you're meditating on God this morning. If zero means, when I wake up in the morning and look at myself in the mirror and I think about who I am, I feel like I'm an absolute zero. There is nothing about my life I like. Or all the way up to 100. I think about my life, I look at myself in the mirror and I think, absolutely 100, there you are. I want you to think about a number right now. In fact, if you want to, I'd like you to go ahead and just take your Palm Pilot, and I'd like you to just go ahead and write that on there, and think about that number. You got a number in your mind on, if you look at yourself in the mirror, you have a number. I'm not going to ask you your number, but you have a number, right, that you see, how you see yourself, everything about your life, who you are. I'd like to know, hands up, and I'm not going to ask you personally your number, but hands up, how many of you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, oh yeah, over 80. Raise your hands. Not even 5% of this congregation. Sit down, brother. He's up there like right here, right now. All those that are down in the 20s and 30s want to see you after church. That's right. You know what I find out? Now, with that same test, here's what I want to ask you. How God sees you. I want you to come up with a number. God looking at you through his son, Jesus Christ, and how he looks at your life. I'd like you to come up with a number on how God sees you. 100, meaning God sees you in perfection. God sees you in his grace. 0, meaning God doesn't see you at all. I'd like those of you that think God's number of you is over 80, would you raise your hands? About 80% of the congregation. Now, here's what I'd like to say. Brother, get off of my chair. Somebody's wrong. Either you're wrong or God's wrong. Because your numbers aren't the same. Either God knows more than you do or you know more than God does. So you're agreeing with God or you're agreeing with the devil. And if you didn't raise your hand, then you're not agreeing with God. Because my Bible tells me that God sees me in absolute perfection through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, when I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ, God doesn't look at my sins, and trust me, there's enough of them to disqualify me to stand up here 2 steps ahead of you. I am a sinner saved by grace. I'm a man who has imperfections. I have a family. I try to raise them. I have a wife. I try my best. But you need to understand something. I understand that when I look in the mirror, I need to start agreeing and looking in the mirror as God sees me and stop agreeing with how the devil sees me. You see, the devil came a long time ago and told Adam and Eve, you are nothing and worthless. You have no value whatsoever. In fact, you are ugly. And Eve ran around in the Garden of Eden and she grabbed a hold of a fig leaf. She grabbed the biggest tree leaf she could find and she covered her nakedness because the Bible says she was ashamed of herself. And there never should have been a woman on this earth that ever looked at her body in the mirror and said, you're ugly, you're fat, you're too skinny, you're too tall, you're too this and you're too that. And we live in a world that agrees with the devil. And we need to turn that around. And God looked and said, where have you gone? And they said, we were hiding because we were naked. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Who are you agreeing with? Well, that serpent you put here. He told me I was ugly and I covered my frame. And God went, that's too bad because you are the most beautiful thing that I'd ever created. I placed you in the centerpiece of my garden. You think the flowers in their full bloom, and I tell you what, my wife does a great job at gardening, and we have some incredible flowers. And I've seen some of the most beautiful things that you could imagine in flowers. But God said, that is nothing compared to you, Eve. And that the idea that a woman would look in a mirror, who are you agreeing with, ladies? You ought to get to the place where you start meditating on how God looks at you. And gentlemen, oh my goodness, gentlemen, I mean, I saw a guy yesterday. I was riding my bike, and I saw a guy yesterday down by the beach. He was probably 20 or 30 years older than me, and this guy was huge. He had on a T-shirt. He had muscles out. I thought I was looking in a mirror. He was gigantic. And you know what I did? I rode by and I went, huh. I thought to myself, isn't that it, gentlemen? We look at ourselves and we have that sense of I'm not enough. Gentlemen, I want to let you know something. We need to start looking into the mirror and start agreeing with God, with what God says. My Bible tells me that my God has created me. In Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My God knit me together in my mother's womb, and he knew every single one of my days set before. If I will walk in his ways, I'll tell you what, he did pretty good. And we need to start looking in the mirror. Titus says this. Titus says we need to start saying no to godlessness. You know what that means in Titus 2:12, I believe it is? It says this. It says we need to look at that and go, you know what, devil? In fact, I want to be careful here with the microphone. Here's how it's actually translated in the Greek. It says, we are to look at godlessness or the things that the devil says and say, no! 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 When you get up and you look in the mirror and those thoughts get planted, they're like, oh, what are you going to do? Look at you. And you ought to, it actually uses the word, it's an emphatic imperative. It means you need to scream no to godlessness. And I'll tell you what, the devil's going to plant stuff in your life, and I'll tell you what, you need to scream at him and say no. Titus tells us that in the good book. And I'm going to agree with God instead of agreeing with the devil. Adam and Eve started out, but you don't have to listen to grandpa and grandma anymore because Jesus Christ has come to set you free by his grace and mercy. I need to move on. I got so much in here. Charles Cooley, I studied psychology before I became a Christian. I went through all this stuff, and my professor helped write the DSM-3, Ray Jackson, at the university I was at. And I remember hearing about Charles Cooley. He came up with this thing called the looking glass self. And he said this, I'm not what you think of me. I'm not what I think of me. He said, I am what I think you think of me. I am what I think you think of me. He said, the most significant person in your life is your looking glass self. It could be your spouse. It could be your parents. It could be a best friend. I learned this in college. I love psychology. This was BC in my life. But I tell you what, AD in my life, I took that and I implemented it into God. And I found out this. I made Jesus Christ my looking glass self. And then I thought, I wonder what I think of myself. Well, I wonder what I think he thinks of me. And the more I got into the Word of God and began meditating on what I thought and found out what he thought of who I was, I actually became that person. Does that make sense? Here it is. Someone said, well, you're an alcoholic. Yeah, for 7 years of my life, I drank and I did drugs and, NA and AA and all those things. I don't know why, but when I found Jesus Christ, he said, you're free. You don't have to do that anymore. Now, for me, I didn't have to go through. I think they have some great things. But listen, when Christ set me free, I began to reflect on who he was. And I realized he had more power in my life than alcohol. He had more power in my life than drugs. He had more power in my life than the low self-esteem that I had, that I felt like I could never do anything right. And God made me, of all things, a preacher. I couldn't talk in front of a group of people. I couldn't give speeches. I could never stand up. And God of all things said, guess what you're going to do with your life? You're going to stand up in front of people. I drove over this morning and my stomach was turning with butterflies. And I thought to myself, I still get nervous when I preach, which is probably a good thing. Because I want to make sure that God speaks through his word through me to you. Jesus Christ has become my looking glass self. And I tell you what, when he reigns, he pours. Let me give you one other thing, confession. You guys ever go to confession? You know what confession is? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Don't ever come to me and ask for confession. Now, if you want to come and share your problems with me, I'll pray for you. But I cannot absolve your sins. Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sins. Listen, I think we need to forgive one another. That's true. There's nothing wrong. If you want to go to a priest or a pastor and do that, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says confess your sins one to another. That's okay. But listen, you bring me all your weight. I'm just going to send you to the only one I know who can fix you. I can't fix you. People say, well, you used to do this and this and this. I want to bring my teenager to you. That was my big thing early on because I'd share my testimonies and all the drugs and the robberies and the cops and all the things I did. Oh, my kids could really relate to you. I'm thinking, it's not me that did it. It's Christ. You need to meet Christ. Don't emulate me as a pastor and think I'm the one that's going to say. I began to learn about confession. Here it is. Do you know every word that we say is a confession? I'm confessing right now. You just confessed. You're confessing all the time. Confession means to agree with something. That's what confession means. See, when you go into your confessional and you say, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned, you're going in to agree with the forgiveness. That's what you're doing, confession. We need to get a good confession. I can confess, oh, today's a horrible day. Well, that's your confession. And I will tell you, that's a bad confession. Today is not a horrible day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, I'm gonna confess God, well, what's your situation like? Well, my situation's good. Your car's broke. Well, God's going to give me another car. How do you know that? Because that was his car to begin with. And if he likes to have a broken down car, that's up to him. People say, you got to stop doing stuff like that. No, I don't. I don't agree with that. I'm going to speak words of life, and I'm going to speak words of blessing, and I'm going to speak words of agreement with God. Let me just read a few things in case you have forgotten what you ought to be confessing. And I won't give you the addresses of all these scriptures, but I can if you want them later. And what does God say about you? Oh, before I do that, those people who wake up, those of you that wake up, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. I want to tell you, you're right. Those of you that woke up this morning saying, I can, I can, I can, you're right. My daughter and I, we got Chinese food while my wife was in Africa. We ate a lot of takeout. She told my wife, she said, Susan got home and she goes, Susan went to make some grilled cheese sandwiches. And Abby said, no, not grilled cheese sandwiches. That's all we've ever eaten. The next night we ordered pizza. No, not pizza. I can't make this up. That's all we've eaten is pizza. I said to her, in 30 days, mom's, 23 days, mom's been gone. How many times do we eat grilled cheese? Once. How many times do we have pizza? Once. I said, well, then quit saying that. Well, it feels like it. We ordered Chinese one night, and she got her fortune cookie, and she opened it, and she started reading the fortune in it. I said, what are you reading, honey? She says, I'm reading a fortune cookie. I said, don't read those. Those are junk. And she said, what? I said, I always finish with on the toilet on those things because I think that's where they go. You will meet a lot of great friends in your life on the toilet. I know that may not be kosher to you in church. But honestly, people are reading these fortune cookies and then they start watching for it to come true. And I said, honey, I just came up with a $1 million idea. And she said, what? I said, people get these in every restaurant. You can buy them in grocery stores and eat them at night and just open these things up and read them. I said, we ought to come up with scripture cookies. I said, we ought to put the promises of God in these things so now you can open up something that's actually true and will happen in your life and is a promise and you can count on it like oxygen and gravity. And my daughter goes, that's a great idea. And a friend of mine said, copyright it. So here it is. I'm saying it on tape for all those that are listening around the world on the World Wide Web. This is my idea. You steal it. I'm going after you. It's mine. Just tithe. Make sure you tithe. Let me give you some of those fortune cookies. Let me give you some of those scripture cookies and things that God says about you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. How about this? Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ. I'm going to start agreeing with that. I agree with you, God. I can do all things. I'm going to agree with that. Oh, you can't. Well, good. You go agree with the devil and go get your fig leaf and run around in the garden. Go hide. I'm going to get close to God because this way. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm just telling you what God says about you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you and not to harm you. If God is for us, who can be against us? I'm just going to tell you, this is what God says. Why don't we start confessing those things in our lives? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. By his stripes, we are healed. And I could go on and on. There's over 7,000 of these things. I figure I'm going to do pretty good. I just need one of you to tell me how to bake cookies. See me afterwards. Or just bring me some examples. And I want chocolate chips in mine. When he rains, he pours. Let me close. I've been busy this weekend. I don't have a clue to this. I had to call an electrician friend of mine. I said, I want to go swimming, but my pool is green. I can't get my filter pump to work. It quit on me Thursday night. And he said, well, why don't you check and see if it's your plug, see if it's your pump. So I got an extension cord, ran it from my shed out to the pool. Because from my house, it goes to the pool, and from there, it relays to the shed. I got power out to the shed, but I don't have power at my pool. I said, how is that possible? It runs through the same place. I don't understand that. Is there someone standing at my pool going, no thanks, move along, no thanks, move along? I mean, how are these volts going past my pool? So I went, he said, well, maybe you have a bad CGI. And that's why I called my electrician friend. GFI? GFI. That's these guys are calling it by name. Where were you Thursday night? So I called him up. He sends me to Home Depot. He says, well, get a thing to plug in to measure if it's got juice. So I got a thing. Your fingers. Okay, you know what? This is no longer share time. I'm the preacher. I have the mic. Let's all be quiet for a while. Jesus can't work if you're talking. Lord, It's what happens when it rains. So I got my GFI, and I went and got my meter reader. I should just stop. I got this thing, I turned it on to my AC to make sure it was the right setting, and turned it on 200, and plugged it in and said, I got nothing. I had my wife shut the power off in the basement so that I was, and I took it all apart at the pool. I said, I don't understand this. I took it apart, I had my two exposed wires, plus my other wires going out to the shed. I tested those with an arm. I have a hot wire. I thought, I've got power right here. So I went out and I bought me a new GFI. Got home, I hooked it all up. Plugged everything in, got it all set. Plugged in, nothing. I went out to the shed, plugged in my meter reader. I've got power. I said, Lord, this is impossible. I've got power going to my pool outlet. It's relaying and sending it to my shed. I can plug in out there, but I can't plug in here. My pool is green, and I just want to swim. I called my brother, who's a journeyman. I said, you got to help me. Now, you got to understand, my brother's 8 years younger than me, and I'm not sure he'd ever tell me the truth if I even wanted it. He's a joker, and so I was a little nervous about calling him in the first place. And he said, you could have a bad GFI. I said, really? A bad GFI? How do you get a bad GFI? I got power that's going here. He said, just go replace it. So I took it back. I said, I got a bad GFI. And the lady at Home Depot said, how do you know that? Because my brother told me. She said, well, go get another one. I said, I'd like to do that. So I did. I got power out there. But and I found out my pump is burned out, and I got a new pump. And I shocked the water, and I filtered the water, and my water's blue again. But it's raining today, so it's going to wait. But what I found out, and I brought this morning to close this whole thing out, is this. I couldn't get any power to enjoy the pleasure of enjoying that pool. And everything in that pool was not filtering, and it was turning green. It was not what I wanted in my life. How in the world could a relay that was supposed to be getting power, and it's going right on by to the shed? And then I got to thinking about us this morning. How God's power is right there for us to enjoy life, to do everything we need. And we're watching other people, and God's just going right on by us. It's like, they got power. This is impossible. How is it not working? Because somewhere internally, we're broken, or we're just not connected. And we're just missing out. Things in our lives are kind of going bad. God preached that one for me. This morning, I just want to tell you, get connected to who He is. And watch the power change everything. He'll clean it up. He'll get power going in your life. This morning, when He rains, He pours. And He pours, and He pours, and He pours. Check it out. Get into His Word. Confess. Agree with Him. Meditate. Get alone with God and start discovering who He is. It's not going to happen for an hour on Sunday mornings or an hour and 22 minutes. That's not going to be enough for you. Get it every day, okay? Let's stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, if you would, just everyone, just if you'll just bow your heads, take a moment. I want you to think about this. You raised your hand earlier, and very, very, very few of you, and by the way, everywhere I go in the country, in leadership and youth and pastors, it doesn't matter where I go, it's almost always the same. There are people that just have a hard time breaking through 80 with God. When God looks at you, so much more than that. Can I ask you to close the gap today? Somewhere there's a gap, and God's power and His grace and His love and His mercy, it's not getting to you. Your GFI is broken. Your God favor, whatever you want to call it, it's just not happening. Get reconnected with God. All you got to do is say, God, It's just not happening. Something's broke. And today, I want to reconnect with you. Right now in this moment, I want to give you my life. I'm going to stop trusting myself. In fact, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to say no to ungodliness. So today, Father, let your mercy and your grace forgive me. And I'm going to start having a good confession. So God, I confess you today. You are the Lord of my life. You are my Savior. You're my Father. And today I give you my life, and I'm going to look at myself in a whole different way through your eyes. So God, help me to do that starting today. Today's a brand new day for some of you. Today's a brand new day. Instead of living in that negativity, instead of living into that stuff, hiding from God, today you're going to just walk with God. Start agreeing with him. So Father, let this be our benediction today. In Isaiah chapter 55, the prophet says this, "For as rain and snow fall from the heaven and return not again, but water the earth, bringing forth life and giving growth, seed for sowing and bread for eating, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish that which I proposed and succeed in that for which I sent it." Today, may our lives be in that success. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everyone said, Amen.